You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball in The Sports Objective.
You're listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on The Sports Objective. What's up, Bubba Rosenbaum? How are you, man?
Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba Fett.
I didn't know what name I was going to be addressed as, but no, Dave, doing fine. I got back from Greenville a couple hours ago. Excellent Sunday, and didn't finish the game off exactly as well as we would have liked, but the main thing is we got the win, 11-7, the sweep of the Memphis Tigers in a 4-0 week, and putting ourselves exactly where we want to be going into the final week of the regular season. Obviously we would rather be in first place, but given where we were a couple weeks ago, and we've done everything we can up to this point to give ourselves a chance to win the regular season.
No doubt. Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I know a great weekend, and I know you're excited about the 4-0 week for the Pirates.
Yeah, if we just got some help from Tulane, good God. Good week for the Pirates, big week coming up. The Campbell game is big from an RPI standpoint. Then you got next weekend series is must sweep pretty much because you're hoping Houston's going to drop one to Cincy. You figure they ain't going to drop two. So you're pretty much in a must sweep situation, and hopefully we get some help from the Bearcats. But we did everything we could do this week. We went 4-0. That's the best we could do. We put our best foot forward, and we'll see what happens this coming week. And by the way, Bubba, we did the Charlotte to back to Eastern North Carolina thing in one day on Thursday, and more power to you, man. Jessica said, screw that.
Yep. Yeah. That's something obviously, between football and basketball, baseball, occasionally something else, but it's mainly those three or an event built around those three, like a Meet the Pirates or something of that nature. So that's a trip that we make, 15 to 20 times a year?
Yeah, it is very similar because it was, maybe the night thing. I don't know if you've done it after a Thursday night football game and then taught the next day. You probably have.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done it, whether it was a Thursday night game, like you mentioned, in football, or maybe on a rare occasion if you have a really big midweek basketball game or baseball game that you decide to go to, and you get back at 2 or 3 a.m. or maybe even, stay with a friend in Wilson or Raleigh and, get 2 or 3 hours of sleep and then get up about 4 a.m. to get to work by 7. So I've definitely done both. I think the most recent time I've done that was one of the regionals in the last few years where we were in a situation where we had to play on a Monday, and I think I stayed in Wilson, slept for 2 or 3 hours, got up about 4 a.m., 4:30, and was able to get to work by 7. But I was struggling, once 3 o'clock rolled around.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Was that the regional for 2 years ago?
Yeah, I believe that was I think it was actually 2019 when we had to when we had the regional with Campbell where we had to win, 4 games in about 30 hours.
Yeah, we did.
It was unbelievable. One of those great memories, but certainly we don't want to worry about hopefully we don't have to do that.
So, all right, we'll take it. Any way we can win a regional, if we do that again, great.
No, I know that, but you would like to go ahead and take care of business where you wouldn't have to play that many games in a short period of time. If you have to do it, you have to do it like we did then, but guys, very happy with where we are now. And a couple weeks ago, everybody is gloom and doom. But right now, the Pirates are 38-14, 15-6 in the conference, a 7-game winning streak. How about the 29-4 at home? And one thing very proud of is we were struggling on those away games, but 9-9 now. So we got the 500 mark.
Yeah.
And then Bubba, with this weekend, hopefully we can be 12-9, guys. And
Kyle. Yep. Yeah, we were 5-9 on the road. And obviously the sweep at Cincinnati, and then we took care of business in the midweek up at Old Dominion. That game got bumped back to Wednesday due to ODU's travel issues and maybe some mild weather concerns. I think it was maybe largely due to the travel for ODU getting back. I think they had to end up – I'm trying to recall where they had played last weekend, but I want to say they had to go Texas travel
State.
Back.
It was Texas State, and they got stuck in Chicago.
Yeah, got stuck in Chicago and didn't end up getting back to very late Monday evening or something like that. So, but hey, it's a midweek game that was very reminiscent of the one the previous week against the Tar Heels. Like Cliff Godwin said post game, that the conditions were certainly not favorable for much offense, and we didn't see much offense on the Pirates. And Monarchs were scoreless to what, about the first six innings, and then we took a 1-0 lead in the top of the seventh. Yeah. And that 1-0 lead held up until one out in the bottom of the ninth when
they just tied it to be annoying.
Yeah, when ODU tied it off of a solo shot by Kenny Lavari, if I recall correctly, and then it remained 1-1 until the top of the 13th when we were able to put several quality at-bats together and scratch out three runs.
Yeah, I felt like we were going to win that game in extra innings. I felt like we were a much better team. And I kept thinking, if we end up losing this thing because of some dumb luck, another solo shot home run or some shit like that, it's going to be a shame because we are a much better team. By the way, just to mention the ODU, their stadium looked okay from what I could tell, but the backdrop for their stadium is horrible. It's a bunch of ugly brick. We all saw it. What an ugly setting for baseball.
That's
but
don't you agree? Yeah. I mean, I thought it was.
Yeah, that's something that, I'd certainly seen a game there before. But yeah, it's not exactly a picturesque backdrop there. It will be interesting to see, moving forward. I know they have plans for a new ballpark. I'm not sure what the timeline is as far as. And then if that's going to be a situation like Harrington and Clark LeClaire, where it's going to be built there on the same site, or if it's going to be elsewhere.
Probably the same site. I think they're rather landlocked, Bubba.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely have heard that. I've actually never been to that ODU campus, but I have heard that, from the guests that we've had on the show, as well as folks who have been there to Norfolk and the Old Dominion campus.
Yeah,
no question. And guys, that Harbor Park where the Norfolk Tides play, as far as the overall ballpark, it is nice, but you're right with the
That's not where they played.
Not ODU doesn't play there, but I'm just talking about that's where we
That's where it was supposed to be on Tuesday, the Norfolk right. Tides Park, like
right.
Yep.
Yeah, but Wednesday, you did realize we played it at ODU, right, Dave?
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah, we were talking about the backdrop of ODU Stadium, not the backdrop at Harbor.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Okay, I understand.
It's a bunch of old brick buildings. It looks like the backside of campus or something like that.
Yeah, it was not. I was wondering about that because that makes sense now, because when I've been to a few games at Harbor Park, and I was like, it was pretty nice. And I was like, I don't remember it. Okay.
So you watched it and still didn't realize who won the ballpark you had went to?
Well, no. What happened, I had a because of the 3 o'clock time, I had to work.
So you watched highlights.
No, I watched it, but I wasn't paying attention.
I got you. Yeah.
And then we had a
– Well, I had missed the whole damn story. I didn't – I just to be honest, I thought it was supposed to be Wednesday. And I was wondering why it was at 3 o'clock, and I didn't realize the game had been moved. I hadn't heard the story. And then when I turned it on, when I got home from work Wednesday, I said, that ain't no damn minor league ballpark. I said, that's
there it is.
I said, that's campus. And
yeah,
and
Bud Mancini and Baseball Complex, and
yeah, you see the backdrop there. That's
actually not bad or not that bad there, but I just.
Yeah, it looks better.
It struck me differently on the ESPN Plus broadcast.
Yes, it looks better in the picture. It looks
much worse than that.
I agree with you. That's on a nice, bright, that's like a perfect shot. Yeah, on the ESPN Plus broadcast, it looked like they were playing in a damn warehouse district
in
some sand lot.
That's what I was – okay, thank you, Kyle, because I was – I had trouble with having to sneak trying to watch it, and then – I was in a meeting for Alexander's basketball team rather. And so I didn't have my undivided attention. That makes me feel better because I was like, I don't remember. Harbor Park looks so nice.
Yeah, no, it was like a used ballpark. And then once I saw they were playing there, then I researched what the hell happened. Why are we playing there? And, you know, found about the story about the, they spent Sunday night. They didn't get home until sometime on Monday, where they had to sleep overnight in the baggage claim or
Midway.
In Chicago. Well, I don't guess they had to sleep in baggage claim, but you know what the hell I mean. They had to sleep in the damn airport, Chicago.
Yeah, it was rough. It reminded me with what we went through with, like the scenario Wichita State. It's kind of like the old movie, one of my favorites, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Especially, I guess, for ODU. So, but hey, they're a great team and they played their hearts out. And I was hoping to see, not that it happened, but I was hoping to see us like just tear it up. But it's not like they're a bad team.
But no, they play in a good conference. Their RPI, I think, is around 58 or so. And they play in the Sun Belt, which is a hell of a baseball league. So they're used to playing good competition. So it ain't like they were going to come in and we were going to intimidate them. But I did think we were the much better baseball team and we should have easily won that game just watching it. Instead, we were in the 13th inning before we finally put the damn thing away.
According to some quick research, they have plans for $20 million renovation of the stadium. And they had as of maybe even as long as a year ago, $18 million raised. So I'm not sure, but I would say the new ballpark, I don't know if they're breaking ground after this season or what, but and it will be on site of the current Bud Matheny baseball complex. So yeah, it looks pretty nice. It's the same construction company that did the $75 million renovation of Ballard Stadium, the football stadium.
Well, what is the other directions of the ballpark look like? Maybe they can just change the wall to the other direction or something like that. Get a better backdrop.
Yeah, I don't know. Craig was chiming in saying his daughter is going there in the fall. So obviously Craig has a child at JMU and is now going to have one at Old Dominion. And he said it's a surprisingly nice campus. The baseball stadium could use some upgrades. It appears that those are on the way. The backdrop is campus buildings, but what is cool is the dorms, campus buildings, stadiums are all relatively in the same area.
Why is his daughter's going to East Carolina?
Yeah, Craig, what's up with that?
Is he in Virginia, out-of-state tuition? Is that the deal?
It's probably so, yeah. He's in Northern Virginia, I believe Craig is.
Gotcha.
DC area. So what's up, guys? And we got so many great folks chiming in. By the way, I want to give a shout out to Shell. His son Randy, by the way, guys, Tuesday night's going to be in the state semifinals against for lacrosse against Lake Norman. So good luck to Randy this week, and hopefully we have some good news to talk about on Tuesday. That should be a lot of fun. And I misspoke last week, guys. I said that after I said I knew I was wrong, but Randy has never played baseball, I don't think, in his life or recently. And I said he played baseball, but I'm sure that if Cliff Godwin, if he needed to play, I'm sure he could play Division I. He's a great athlete. So, go Randy. Good luck to him.
Yeah, we're going to get him that baseball scholarship offer based on his lacrosse playing skills.
Well, hey, he's a great athlete. I'm sure if he picked up a bat, he would learn. He could do it at some point.
But Dave, before we move on and talk about the weekend and the sweep, of the Memphis Tigers. Garrett Saylor, another excellent outing, start, 3 2/3, one hit, 6 strikeouts, no walks. And that's something I was looking at the statistics for the season here about an hour ago. And I tell you, and Garrett Saylor, you know, he's had a very, very productive senior season. I think he's had something like 43 strikeouts and just 5 walks. So unbelievable strikeout to walk ratio. And it's a shame that he had to be out for, I guess, at least 2, maybe 3 weeks with that oblique. But it's great to have him pitching the way he's pitching right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm glad to see him come back and, you know, after the injury and play up to his ability. Sometimes you never know how guys are going to come back after an injury.
And we use 6 arms against the Monarchs, and another one of those arms that had a tremendous outing was Jake Hunter. 3 innings and did not allow a hit, and Pirate pitchers surrendered just 3 hits in the 13 innings. So that's what, you know, when that game was 1-1 going into extra innings after having lost that 2-1 game to the Tar Heels, I was like, please, you know, we cannot have the pitching performances that we had in those 2 games and drop both of them.
And how about the both Campbell games were by 1 run, right? Off the top of my head, is that right?
Yeah, that's 2 much different games, but yeah, 6-5 and 10 innings in a pretty sloppy game, and then 2-1 at Segra Stadium in a pretty well played game that was the epitome of a pitcher's duel. But kind of shifting gears and taking a look at the weekend, you know, 3 pretty different games. I mean, especially games 1 and 2, you take a look at it. The Pirates, 6-run first inning, scored 6 runs without an out being recorded. And you had Justin Wilcox and J-Dub hit, I think, what was according to the TrackMan data released by ECU Baseball on Twitter, 461 feet. It hit the top of the light pole in right field.
Yeah, that was a little shot, no doubter.
But very similar to the one we had hit against us by Tommy O'Connor, the outfielder from the Cincinnati Bearcats up at Cincinnati. But, yeah, J-Dub got all of that one. And in the game, you know, Josh Groves, you know, didn't really intend on him pitching on Friday, according to Coach Godwin. But you know, I think Zach Root needed to pitch on Sunday as opposed to Friday. So Groves got bumped up a day. And he gave us – I mean, he got all that run support early, and he gave us a chance to win 4 1/3, just 2 hits, 1 run. He did walk 4 compared to just 3 strikeouts, which – you know, he struggled with the walks early in the season, and that had improved, and just didn't have as good a command on Friday night. But overall, can't argue with 1 run on 2 hits, even with those 4 free passes and 4 1/3. Danny Beal got the win in relief since Josh Groves did not go 5 complete, and Beal was excellent. 2 2/3, no hits. And Danny Beal, that was 1 of 2 victories he picked up on the weekend. We'll talk more about that later. You know, Willie Lumpkin, and then Eric Ritchie, Tyler Brott, and Tony Ginn pitched in relief. And Carter Cunningham led the Pirates with 3 hits in that game. And Carter had an unbelievable week. And I know Johnny Roberts and I were able to talk to him a little on the field after the game today. And you know, he also shed some light on a much discussed topic on social media and, you know, in some of our circles.
And that would be about the yellow bet.
Yeah, that's something, you know, I know Craig Doucette had mentioned that a lot, as well as others, just talking about the quote, yellow tip bats. So Carter said that they had chosen to use them that those that had chosen to use them have abandoned them. He said that they were dead because they had not been broken in yet.
All right. So those of us that are, and then all of a sudden we're winning now, right? Because of the not using the yellow tip bats.
So, sorry, I stepped away there for a moment. Dave, what did you say about the bats?
I was just laughing. I said, I know it's been a hot topic for.
Yeah. Now, according to what Carter said, that topic can be dropped. But, with that game one, you know, you had the 6-0 lead, you know, in a blink of an eye, and then it was 6-1 after 5. You know, the bats had kind of gone quiet for those next several innings, but then we tacked on to our lead, built a 10-1 advantage, and then Memphis scored some runs late. Pirates had 13 runs in the game. Joey Barini also had a multi-hit game in addition to Carter Cunningham's 3 hits. A-Mac, very solid weekend for him, 2 weekends in a row now after he tore up the Bearcats last weekend. He had 3 runs batted in and had a home run on Friday. Kind of transitioning into Saturday, a much different game despite the similar final score. Pirates 10-3 victors, but it was a scoreless game through 4, just 1-0 after 6.5. And the very talented Memphis arm, and then 6-6 left-hander. And, he really held our bats in check through the first 6 innings, but we got to him in the 7th. You could sense him perhaps tiring a bit. And I think he walked a batter or two in that inning. And I think he had 3 or 4 walks in the game. But there in the 7th, we put up a 4 spot. And then against the bullpen, we really started to tee off. And we put up a 5 spot in the 8th. So 9 runs there in the 7th and 8th innings. And made what was a 1-0 game look like a blowout, which it was not for the majority of the game.
Yeah, that pitcher was fantastic, but you're right about, I was wondering maybe they didn't have anybody else, Bubba and Kyle, but I was wondering, is the Memphis staff leaving him in too long? And then all of a sudden we got those 2 innings. I was like, yep, they left him in too long. And I think Cliff unfairly gets criticized too much about taking pitchers out too soon or moving, using so many pitchers. But I think that's a perfect example of a guy that had great stuff, but they left him in inning or two longer than they should.
I think it's a situation where they don't trust their bullpen, where his stuff
was better than what they had.
Yeah, even when he's worn out. Of course, you don't want to kill a damn pitcher. He's got a chance to play at the next level. You don't want to wear it. You don't want to throw his arm away every outing. I don't know how many innings he typically pitches, but I don't think – clearly they don't have much in their bullpen. So, go ahead, Bubba.
Well, just since you brought up how many innings he pitched, I'm not sure, on a consistent basis. I know for the season and that he had logged about, somewhere 75, 77 innings. And in those 75 – or so innings, he had struck out 100 and allowed just 57 hits. So pretty impressive. Opponents were hitting just around 200 against him. So he had, even though he didn't have a great record, had some pretty eye-popping numbers.
Yeah, and I don't know what's typical for a starting pitcher in the collegiate ranks, what the typical average is for how many innings they pitch during the season. Bubba, do you?
Where he is, I'd say that's pretty typical because give me a moment here. I got the ECU season stats, and our starters really have not gone as deep into games this year as they have in the past. Oftentimes just going about 5 or 6 innings. They did have a stretch there.
That's by design.
Yes, but our primary starters, Trey Savage, 60 innings, and obviously he missed some time. Josh Groves, 67 1/3, and then you have Carter Spivey, who just recently moved to the bullpen, but is still, logging 3 and 4 innings out of the pen, 62 1/3 for Carter. So, once you factor this weekend, they're going to be right around, 70, 72 innings.
Okay, so nothing too ridiculous. Obviously, no. The kids throw more innings than any of our guys, but nothing too ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd say 75 to 80. I mean, that's probably top end for the most part, with an exception or two.
And Bubba, how about JR's out there talking about the home runs? That is some good stuff there. The Pirates' 9 home runs against Memphis this weekend was the most since last season at Tulane. Was 10 in a weekend. He said Carter Cunningham was responsible for 2 of those home runs in both series. So just
It would be nice to see the bats stay hot. A lot of that's been pitching, but it sure would be nice for the bats to be getting, because our bats have been hot or cold. They don't seem to be much in between. So
yeah,
they stay hot.
Yeah, very streaky. You take a look at that. I think on the weekend we had 31 runs on 35 hits, and like Johnny Robertson said, 9 of those left the yard, and you had 3 guys with multi-homer games on Saturday. You had the 5 home run game for the team, and you had Josh Moylan had a couple of very long home runs, and that one was like 420, and then the other was maybe 437. And then you also had Carter Cunningham, as he mentioned, with a multi-homer game. Then AMAC had 3 home runs on the weekend, including 2 today. So it's great to see that power. And
is AMAC going to, become consistent like he has the ability to do with that power? JJC still hadn't, since his injury, he still just hadn't been himself. And at some point you figure the old JJC is going to show back up. Postseason be a nice time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You take a look at AMAC. Coach Godwin referenced it in the post game. He said, AMAC's thing is just swinging at good pitches. It sounds like you're oversimplifying it, but that's really, and some folks are probably thinking, well, you can say that about a lot of people, but you know, AMAC, you look at his numbers, and he's hit 10 home runs, which is 2nd on the team. He has 40 runs batted in, which is also tied for 2nd on the team with JJC, trailing only Josh Moylan, who has 48 and 11 home runs, both of which lead the team. So AMAC, he's hitting right around 250 now. It's just been that consistency and swinging and bad pitches at times that's led to some of that inconsistency. And now, while we're on the topic of home runs, the Pirates have 64 as a team. And, prior to the season, you heard a lot of folks, including head coach Cliff Godwin, saying he didn't know that we'd have someone like a Bryson Worrell, who hit 20 last year. And honestly, guys, you take a look at it, Bryson hit 20, but 8 of those 20 came in the postseason. So he was right around this same number. Like Moylan has 11. He obviously had 12 in the regular season. So, but Cliff said, I think we'll have 5-6 guys that will hit 8 to 10, 8 to 12 home runs, and that's exactly what we have. You have Moylan with 11, AMAC 10, JJC 9, Jacob Starling, who we'll talk more about in just a moment. He has 8, and then Justin Wilcoxon has 8. So you have 5 with 8+, and then you have Carter Cunningham, who hit 2 yesterday and now has 6. So, but back to Jacob Starling, obviously did not start, but he played off the bench at Old Dominion. Some back spasms. Coach Godwin said some of that was still lingering, but he was trying to tough it out on Friday and Saturday. Left the game yesterday, and he said the back was worse today than it was yesterday. So it's just a day-to-day thing. Hopefully, with the treatment he'll be getting from, the folks with Young's physical therapy, et cetera, that they'll be able to, get Jacob back to where he needs to be, and hopefully he'll be able to give it a go on Tuesday against the Campbell Camels.
No doubt. We need all hands on deck for that game. And
I think I accidentally hit my camera live for a second there with my big fat leg. So if anybody saw my big fat leg, I apologize.
No, it looked like a ceiling. I don't think that was your leg.
I hope it was. Well, depends on what the camera was aiming.
It looked like it was up in the air.
Well, my leg's pretty damn white, Dave, so you could have got that.
And Dave, while we're on the topic of AMAC and Johnny Gardner as well as Johnny Robertson, Johnny chimed in with a comment about Carter, but AMAC and Josh Moreland are the best defensive players on the corners in the conference, in Johnny Gardner's opinion. Yeah, definitely can't disagree with that. And it was JR, that said that AMAC's a baller. Yeah, definitely has put up some very good numbers on just that lack of consistency in his pitch selection that has not produced the number of quality at bats and batting average that he would like. But then also Carter Cunningham, he is 9 of 12 this week, guys. Nine of 12, 2 home runs, 4 runs batted in. He also had a couple free passes. And so on the week, or actually maybe going back to that Cincinnati series, perhaps 12 of his last 15 plate appearances, he has reached base when you factor in those walks. So Carter Cunningham, and not surprisingly, when you see that stat, he leads the team in on base percentage at .444.
About what Craig said, did you see that? For good old Kyle, he said you were complaining about the backdrop at ODU. We get to see your leg.
Well, you know what, Craig? I don't know which is worse. Some crappy old brick buildings that looks like an old warehouse somewhere in the Rust Belt, or my fat leg. I don't know which one would be worse. It's pretty tight race.
We could put a poll up on Twitter if you like.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll have a Twitter poll.
Hey, Bubba, can you do that? Which is worse, the backdrop for ODU or Kyle's leg? No, it was definitely.
Well, according to you, Dave, my leg looks like a ceiling. So I mean,
it didn't look like your leg. So
okay, well, either way, at this point, is what it is.
Yeah. In this case, the ceiling's the roof.
What?
Nothing. Nothing. I just wanted to say the ceiling is the roof, like Michael Jordan.
I got you.
Don't you remember that infamous speech?
I think it was funny. I want to say it was Jacob Starling in an interview in the last few weeks reversed it and said the roof's the ceiling.
Oh, wow.
By the way, I heard good things about the new Jordan movie, Air.
I want to see that, yeah.
I saw a highlight on it, though, on TikTok. Somebody had isolated the scene, and, you know, his mom negotiated his deal with Nike there for the Jordans. And, you know, according to that movie, she told Nike that the NBA wouldn't be promoting Jordan. Jordan would be promoting the NBA. So, you know, I hate when movies romanticize crap like that. You know, his mama didn't negotiate that damn deal with Nike and say that crap. Come give me a break.
How about the fact that he back then when I was really young, Adidas was way bigger than Nike. Nike was like, I mean, they had like not, if it wasn't for Jordan, I will give Jordan credit.
Well, I remember, you know, Dave, I remember, you know, Adidas. And I remember when Reebok was more popular than Nike. So yeah,
Converse.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, but yeah, so obviously Jordan had an impact and Nike was getting popular. I mean, they, you know, the Back to the Future stuff was a good gimmick too. If you remember, Marty McFly wore Nikes. Yes. But
you're looking at 1984, and back then
there's Back to the Future was 85. So
no, I'm talking about the deal with Jordan's, with the Air Jordans.
Right.
You went from $30. The shoes were $30 back then for the Nikes. It went from $30 to $63. Air Jordans were $63.
That was a lot of money back then for a pair of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a little more than double for Air Jordans. And all of a sudden, you know, it really, Nike, I really believe that was a turning point for Nike. I really do.
Oh, of course it was. And I'm just not a Jordan fan. I'll watch the movie, but I am not a Jordan fan. I can't
stand it. I told you my Jordan story, so.
Yeah, you're not a fan either.
No, not the way. Anyway, I don't want to waste my time on Michael Jordan. We got more important things to talk about, and that's Pirate Baseball. I know that we were talking off air with, I know, Johnny Robertson, a lot of our friends. Looks like, guys, what is it? Is it 20 or 18 for the RPI? Help me out. 20?
Last I saw it was 20.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm assuming that's Warren Nolan. Has the official NCAA RPI started coming out yet, or do they not come out until the week of the tournament? I know everybody always goes by Warren Nolan.
Yeah, if you go to NCAA.com, I'm not sure if it's been updated to include this weekend's results, but I'll see if I can. I'll get a screenshot of that before the end of the show because I have Warren Nolan's, and we can compare them to.
Pretty accurate. He's normally pretty. He's normally no more than a spot or two off.
Yeah, obviously he meant the type of one there. Johnny Robertson says 19 currently.
Okay. Well, that's good. If that Campbell win, we'd really have a chance probably to move up significantly if we could beat Campbell.
That's what I'm saying. Not only for the fact that we've lost 2 one-run games to them, so we've lost a series, but this would really, really help us. And then not only that, but to finish strong with the series of USF.
Yeah, yeah, that, Bubba, Dave, what do you guys think we have to do to host at this point? Do you think we can win out and Houston win out and us not win the regular season conference title and still host? Or do you think we'd get penalized for that? Well, I guess it depends.
You have to win the tournament.
Do you think we would need to win the conference tournament if that was the case?
Yes. I feel very confident with the way we're playing right now that even if we finish second in the regular season, I think Bubba and I were talking before. Certainly the last thing you want to do is finish second in the conference regular season and then have a terrible tournament. So you want to win I think you've got to win the tournament. I really do.
If we don't win the regular season conference title.
Right. Right. I mean, I feel like there's a good shot.
Do you think we have to do Bubba and Bubba's chime in also? Do you think we have to do both either way to host? Do you think we need to do both?
I think, obviously, like you said early in the show, I believe this is once we went live and not backstage, but you were saying, obviously, odds are we're going to have to sweep South Florida because the odds of Cincinnati taking the series at Houston is very unlikely. So hopefully the Bearcats can get one. We can sweep. We win the regular season. And then if you factor in a top 25 RPI win, I think Campbell, last time I saw with today's 4-2 loss to Gardner-Webb, they took 2 out of 3 in that series down in Bowie's Creek from the running Bulldogs. But with today's loss, they fell to 23 in the RPI. So obviously that would do a lot for us there. I think it's possible that, if we went out in the regular season, that would put us at 11 straight wins. And then if Houston takes care of their business and we don't win the regular season, then if you win the tournament, you're going to have 15 straight wins. I mean, obviously, if we sweep through the tournament, we could go 3-1 and then win the championship. You know, in that case, you're going to either have 15 straight wins or 15 out of 16. So if you've done that and you're 44-16 or 44-17,
yeah, you should host.
Then I think we host. I mean,
where is Houston at in terms of, are they going to make the tournament if they win the conference championship regular season, or
they will not? They have an RPI of 92. We'll go ahead and put up the standings here.
Their record's not that bad, though, is it? It's like
they're 31-20. They got off to a 5-11 start and have since gone 26-9. But their non-conference schedule has absolutely killed them. They played a 3-game series with Cal, a 3-game series with Oklahoma, and a 3-game series with Minnesota. But the bad news for them, OU's been kind of mediocre. They're 28-22, have a RPI of about 38, I think. But Cal and Minnesota, they have not been good. And they have been in recent years. So I'm sure when they scheduled those series, they thought that was going to be more of an RPI booster, more so than a RPI strain. Right. And you take a look at it.
What a freaking mess it would. Go ahead.
Their non-conference strength of schedule was 213.
What a freaking mess it would be for the conference and for East Carolina if we went out, but Houston still wins the regular season title, and then somebody, Wichita maybe, wins the conference tournament. And so you got Houston as the regular season champion not going to the tournament, Wichita going to the tournament by winning the tournament, but with a losing record or not a very good record, and then us with neither championship. I mean, that would, you know, we definitely wouldn't be hosting at that point, but I would imagine that the conference does not want that to happen.
No, I feel like for us right now, the way we're playing very well. It'll come down to when we're talking about the tournament. The tournament is so crazy, as you guys know, it's like the new season, and anything can happen, as we found out over the years in Clearwater. So I think Tuesday night's going to be big for us. We're going to play well. That can go either way. That's a 50-50 game, but you know, you look at the...
Yeah, I mean, Tuesday's important, but not as important as this weekend or the tournament. But it is an important game. It's not a throwaway game.
No doubt. And the USF series, we've got to, there's no question. We have to look at the way we've been playing right now. We have to look at it as like a regional, like a tournament, you know, postseason kind of play right now, because we're trying really hard to host. I mean, you know, and
they know what's on the line. Know going out to South Florida conference championship and trying to host is on the line. And
yeah,
I mean, this is what you want. You'd like to have the conference championship. You know, you like to be the lead, not chasing. Well, this is what you want: meaningful baseball at the end of May. You know, at least, you know, worst case scenario, we'll know we'll be a road 2 seed, and that's really worst case at this point. Unless something happens, we just absolutely fall apart, and still, we'd probably be a 2 instead of a 3. So, I mean, that's when that's your worst case scenario, you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you look at the Bulls. Since you're talking about this weekend, you have South Florida, 19-33, 7-14, tied for last in the league with Tulane, and they're certainly capable, because they won a Friday night game on the road at Wichita State, but then lost the next two, and both of those were in pretty decisive fashion. Against the Shockers, 9-2, and then they got run rule 12-1 in 7 innings today. So, but obviously it's going to be their senior weekend, and you know, they're going to want to go out to their final games there in Tampa with a good showing. So we just have to do what we've been doing the last two weekends against teams that are not as good as us. We just have to, you know, get off to a strong start and be solid in all three phases and take care of our business, and I think we'll be just fine. But the Bulls have lost 8 out of their last 10, got swept by Memphis last weekend.
Yeah, I was listening to some of the radio coverage today. Instead of watching it on TV, we were out and about, and Scott Rogers and Coach O were discussing South Florida, and they even Coach O, they made it sound like they are playing awful baseball. Like they're not good in any aspects. And, you know, which really kind of surprised me to hear them talk that candidly about it. But so I was like, God, shut up, guys. We got to play them next weekend. But,
it'll be interesting to go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Apparently they're not very good. Scott implied, and Coach O didn't disagree, that they're not very talented. And you know, they mentioned how UCF was talented but not winning ball games. But you know, they said that, you know, Scott Rogers said it didn't make any sense to him how they were so untalented being right there in the Tampa area. He just put it out there, and Coach O didn't disagree. That's interesting to me.
I can't type in it's actually Johnny's question is Stetson is who the Bulls will play in midweek. Says for some reason I'm having trouble.
Traditionally a good baseball program.
Yeah, they're 30-21 this year. Are the Hatters, and so I think that game will be in Tampa.
Okay. Well, I would still take Stetson, and who knows? Once I don't even know what conference Stetson plays in, but I bet you they win their conference tournament and they're in the NCAA tournament like normal.
And by the way, one of the great things is that we, by playing on the road at USF in Tampa, it's a quick drive from Tampa to Clearwater. So there shouldn't be any problems with any kind of bad kind of travel things or anything like that.
Are we going straight from Tampa to Clearwater?
I would hope so. I mean, you're looking at Sunday and you have to be there for the tournament on Tuesday. Why in the world would you come home?
Oh yeah, that's the way we've always done it in the past. I mean, you think back two years ago when we were playing the 4-game series, we actually, that was when South Florida was starting to play some better baseball and split that series with us, and actually came out of the Gainesville regional that year and went to a super regional out in Austin against the Longhorns. But
I forgot about that, Bubba.
But so yeah, we'll head over make that short trip from Tampa to Clearwater, and so we'll have Dave on site there. We'll take a look at the tournament there.
Dave,
before things get cranked up.
When are you heading down, Dave?
I'm headed down on Thursday because my kids won't be with me, so I'm gonna head on. I'll be there.
Now, what if we go two and barbecue and we're already out?
Well, that would be the second game. I'll be there for I guess they could play, Tuesday and Wednesday, but I feel like they'll win on Tuesday.
Any other plans while you're in the Clearwater area?
Well, obviously some beach time and then maybe hang out with some folks that we know, and some of our.
All right, you got to go to Hogan's Beach Shop and you got to go to Hogan's Hangout.
Yeah, that's. The Hogan's Hangout is where I'm definitely going, and hopefully I can see the Hulkster. But it's maybe Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South. Our good friend Corey Glore, I'm going to try to hang out with him some, and some other folks. But I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a lot of fun, and I've always wanted to do it. So,
no, that sounds fun. I would enjoy that. I would go to nothing but the East Carolina games, and I'd be out doing other stuff.
I'm looking at there's some other stuff to do there in Clearwater, and the beaches are
really good seafood there. There's that popular seafood chain that's in Clearwater, that there's one at the baseball park. I can't think of the name of it.
Corey can tell you,
I'm sure.
It's in right field, right, Bubba?
Yeah, it is.
I can't think of the name of it to save my life right now, but yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh my God, it's on the top. I can think of it. I'll think of it after the show, of course, but looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll have some of our pirate friends down there also that I can hang out with, and some that'll make the trip. We'll see. But I think it's going to be interesting. In fact, there's some media folks I've talked to that were initially not going because they thought maybe the Pirates would be easy. As far as the conference, we'd win all the games and dominate.
Well, what it is, Dave, they heard the Sports Objective was going to be there, and they couldn't be shut up by a podcast. So,
not traditional media.
Now, so now all the now your radio and television personalities have to go down there.
Thank you, A-Win in Florida. It's Frenchies in left field. I'm sorry. I thought it was right field.
Okay, yeah. There's a few of them down there. But, So enjoy some seafood and go to Hogan's Hangout and Hogan's Beach Shop. And that's like, I'd be so excited. And I'm not even a big Hogan fan, but just like to go to Hogan's Hangout and in the beach shop, man. I'd be fired up for that.
Norm asked me, am I scared? What am I scared of? Hulk Hogan? What is it, 26?
Norm? Well, he asked if you were scared.
I don't know what I'm scared of. Scared?
Norm is someone who normally participates in the show?
Yes, he's one of our friends that you know very well.
Okay.
That's a stage name. So we say, Norm!
Like, oh, sure. Okay, got you. I wonder what you would be scared of. I don't.
Maybe Norm can tell us what I'm scared of.
Whatever you're scared. Maybe just of being in Clearwater in general. Maybe Maybe he thinks he can't swim. I don't know.
I do not swim. That's not one of my. I don't think I'm as good as I used to be, obviously. But
and as good as you once was.
That's right. How about Danny Beals? So Danny Beals, the PGX Gloves pitcher of the week.
Yeah, Dylan Danny Beal, you know, a couple wins in relief, as we mentioned earlier, against the Tigers. 5 shutout innings during which he allowed just 1 hit. So congratulations to Danny Beal on being our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week. And then also when we talked about the tremendous week for Carter Cunningham and just having an excellent season. And Carter is our PGXGloves.com Player of the Week, 9-for-12 with a couple of home runs, both of those coming in Saturday's win over Memphis and 4 runs batted in. So congrats to Carter Cunningham and Danny Beal.
You know, I wonder if they ever, if the players get word, if anybody lets them know that they're.
I know Carter does because we actually, Johnny Robertson, you know, he passed the news along and sent the graphic or screenshot to Carter's mother because, you know, Johnny had gotten to know her out in the jungle this season. So,
oh, has he now?
He has. And so, Johnny Gardner said in Carter's weekend, obviously Carter's from Haymarket, Virginia, and Richard Osbrook and I were joking about that or laughing about it at the game, just how many more baseball players. We got a pipeline to Haymarket, Virginia with the Agnos family and now Carter Cunningham, who, you know, Nico Agnos and that family, you know, almost considered as a an adopted son of sorts. I think they were neighbors there in Haymarket. But
where is Haymarket?
It's Northern Virginia, right?
Yeah. And
JR could tell us. JR, where JR is from that area.
I got a close friend that's from that area. I'll ask them exactly where Haymarket is.
But Johnny just said the excellent weekend that Carter had reminded him of the terrific performances that we saw out of Zach and Jake.
Hey, by the way, A. Wynn in Florida says Frenchie's has the original place on Clearwater Beach just down from hotel players stay at. Get the grouper sandwich, garlic crab fries are wife's fave.
Oh, garlic crab fries. Oh,
that sounds really good.
Yeah, the grouper sandwich is what they're known for, I think, which I'm down for that too. But garlic crab fries hook me up. Good God.
And
I'm coming to Clearwater with you. I'm just for the garlic crab for us.
Come on. Hey, we got to stop at Bucky's, right?
Yeah, we'll stop at Busey's.
I've never stopped at Bucky's.
Yeah. I've never been to a Bucky's. That is something I want to do. Now there's one in Florence, South Carolina. Me and Jessica talked about just driving down to Florence to go to Bucky's, but we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, my daughter Mackenzie begged on both when we were going to the bowl. There for in Birmingham on the way down and the way back up.
Do you let Mackenzie get on TikTok?
She's on TikTok. Yeah,
that's why. Their Bucky's is like their marketing on TikTok. I don't know if it's intentional or not, but they have so. I don't know if it's like real marketing or if it's genuine. The people just love Bucky's that much. But if they're not paying people to do that, they are being marketed on TikTok to death. So I figured that's where she's familiar with Bucky's from.
By the way, JR says, as far as Haymarket, Virginia, it's the easternmost most extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains, about 30 miles from DC.
Okay. So it's where the Blue Ridge kind of almost runs into Maryland.
Yeah. Okay. So I love the DMV. So, it's one of my favorite areas.
It's one of those things where it's like that when you get it to Northern Virginia, it's so narrow. It's you don't think about how close DC is to West Virginia. It's like an hour from DC to West Virginia.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, that used to be Virginia. You know that, right? Until the Civil War.
Yeah. I'm aware.
Okay.
And are you aware of the state of Franklin?
I am not. Help me out.
Well, you have to look it up. It's part of North Carolina and Tennessee, and it was the state of Franklin. And I'm sure there's some historian out there watching this right now that it's probably like, I just screwed something up with that. But I don't know. We've got any history buffs that are more knowledgeable than me. Where's Bunk?
We need to get him back. Yeah, we.
Now that would be perfect topic for Bunk. He should be able to school us all on that.
Yeah, he actually is. He's a caregiver for family, so he hasn't been participating as much. But we'll have him back on very soon because
I'm just going to ask him history questions about the Carolinas and Georgia.
Yeah, well, now he's in Wilmington, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, he's a Georgia boy, played at East Carolina, and it was a history professor, so I figure he should know his Georgia and Carolina's history.
Kind of shifting gears, guys, we talked about it being senior weekend. Very few seniors, but those three were so impactful on Carter Spivey, and then obviously Lane Hoover and Garrett Saylor. I mean, you know, a lot of folks, I'm sure, have seen what ECU baseball tweeted yesterday. I mean, and the seniors were recognized on Saturday because that's going to be the most well-attended game, especially, you know, with it being Mother's Day weekend. So, Coach Godwin, they had about 45 seconds of when he was addressing the team in the locker room, and he was very emotional. He said, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this without, you know, tearing up." And he just so appreciative of all the blood, sweat, and tears, and everything that Garrett, Carter, and Lane have poured into East Carolina baseball, through their 5-year careers, you know, obviously with that COVID year being thrown in there, and all three overcoming adversity in different ways. Lane, obviously, some serious injuries. You think about what occurred down in Statesboro with the collision with Connor Norby.
Oh, yeah.
And just a very gruesome injury there, and him bouncing back from that. Carter Spivey not pitching well and, you know, being on the brink, and just in his own words, on the brink of transferring. But very appreciative of Coach Godwin for sticking with him, and Carter, hat tip to him for sticking with it when it would have perhaps been easier to go somewhere else. You know, he stuck with it, you know, very appreciative of Coach Godwin sticking with him and, made the necessary improvements with Austin Knight, et cetera. And, he became the American Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Year a year ago and has had a very solid senior season as well, especially, he was very good starting and has been even better out of the bullpen, just like he was in 2022. So, and then Garrett Saylor. Garrett has obviously started a decent amount. He started better this year than he had in the past, and he's been lights out many times over the last several seasons in the bullpen. So, and I talked to earlier about the numbers he's putting up this year, 43 strikeouts, I think it is, as opposed to just 5 walks. And he and Carter have been really good in both a starting and a relief role. Now, just moving forward, it'd be nice. Some of those guys that have pitched well, in a relief role, we'll need them to pitch the way they've pitched throughout the season, if we're going to do what we're capable of doing. But I just wanted to recognize those three, and then specifically had the opportunity to over the last couple of years get to know Denny Hoover. Met it actually, I guess about the last year, met him at the regional and had a chance to interact with him there and during the super regional against Texas. Excellent family, very appreciative of Lane's pirate experience, and definitely said they'll be pirates for life, and just blown away with the passion, support, and just down home atmosphere that you have with the jungle and East Carolina baseball.
Yep.
So wanted to recognize that. And Norm Fear says,
yeah.
And then he should talk about the Hoovers, who are now ECU royalty, and Denny, and then also Lane's mom, Julia. They had the opportunity to jungle jump this weekend. Julia today, and then Denny prior to Saturday's game. And we actually have some video footage Denny, don't kill us for showing this. This is courtesy of the at ECU Jungle account. Oh, and Jared Plummer. Here's Denny Hoover, Lane's dad, jungle jumping prior to the start of Saturday's game.
Yes, 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 yes.
Come on, baby.
Wow. Great job, Denny. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, I had the chance to talk to him today at the game, and you know, he reiterated some of those thoughts that I had shared prior to showing that video, and he was just talking about how cool that was, and he was laughing about it, and he just said that, hey, you know, here's to at least one more game for Lane, and we're planning on several more games for Hoove and Garrett and Carter over the next few weeks at Clark LeClaire Stadium.
I got a new tradition for the Jungle starting next year. I'm gonna challenge the Jungle guys to adopt this. I want you guys to have cartons of Jungle Juice. Y'all know Jungle Juice, the little,
yes.
Yeah, I want y'all to have cartons of Jungle Juice, and I want y'all to give it to the opposing team if they lose. That's their parting gift. They get cartons of the outfield gets Jungle Juice.
Well, I know they'll want to lose to get the Jungle Juice.
You get something. You lose to the Pirates, you get Jungle Juice. I think it's pretty cool. I like my idea.
Hey, there you go. Plenty of opposing outfielders have received food in the past, and I'm sure at times perhaps a non-alcoholic beverage as well, because Tommy O'Connor, the Cincinnati left fielder, you know, thoroughly enjoyed his Jungle experience. He got a hot dog, and Josh Thomas at ECU Pirate Nation on Twitter was nice enough to share that video with us and allow us to use it on our YouTube channel. It's got about 4,000 views.
Hey, by the way, another thing, that being that I'm a broadcasting nerd, Norm talks about, he said, talk about PJ and Mully's broadcast. They are magical together. We had Mully on recently, and he's fantastic. Obviously, we think a lot of Mully, and I'm very close to PJ, so happy to have them do the TV deal. It's been great for ECU Plus.
Yeah, and our old buddy Jason Halter does a good job also.
Yeah.
For football tight end, Jason Halter is a pretty knowledgeable baseball color analyst. Well, good old Jason Halter.
Yeah, I'll have to clip that up and send that to Jay.
Sonny actually played in high school at Wakefield. He played four sports.
Well, yeah, I know that, but still, you know, for a tight end, you know, and a dude named Jason Halter, he does a pretty good job with baseball.
Yeah, I like our TV. In fact, guys, we brag about it all the time, but Greg Pearson, the staff, do such a wonderful job of our baseball games. It, you know, you sometimes I forget that it's a local broadcast, and there's a lot of people around the country.
You know, homie, that don't mean to cut you off. That you know, homie, that used to call our basketball games with a bow tie.
Oh, Nate Ross. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard him call Coastal Carolina football game this past year. That was odd.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot of the coastal sports.
Just weird hearing him do football. It was just, it was just really strange.
And I miss having him. And I know we have a great with obviously how much we love Cy and Patrick, but I miss having him in Williams Arena. He's a really good dude.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Cy. I love Cy. There's something very comforting. There's something very comforting about hearing Cy Seymour call Pirate basketball, particularly now with the voice gone.
Yeah.
You get to hear that old familiar, you know, voice with Cy. And I'm glad if he's no longer going to be on the basketball network, we have him for ESPN Plus.
Yeah, Cy is getting older, and obviously, and he told me that the road travel is horrendous, as we've talked about. It's really tough.
Well, you know, you've always heard him talk about how hard it is to win on the road.
Yep.
So
Yes, we have. we'll have to have him on soon. Pirate basketball is very exciting, and maybe we can get several thousand season tickets. Will be amazing. Bubba.
Dave, if you may know, I just figured Bubba might know this, either one of you. When does basketball schedule normally come out? Is it around this time of year, or is it in the summer?
No, it's more like, is it September?
No, it's before that. It's before that.
It's normally, if I recall correctly, it's normally late summer.
Okay.
I was thinking it was earlier than that. So I'm really thinking it was somewhere between now and July.
I'll look and I'll see when it was released last year, but I think a lot of times it's held up by the conference. So like we'll know who we're playing, but as far as the actual schedule being released,
I'm just wondering what our non-conference is going to be this year.
Well, we know we have Wilmington at home. You have South Carolina at home, and then
we got South Carolina coming to Greenville.
Yes, yeah.
Oh wow, I did not realize that. I thought that was a one-shot deal down there.
No, what it is, they needed another team, so Schwartz made a great deal where basically it's home, and neutral, that we had the neutral site.
How did I miss that we have South Carolina coming here in basketball?
We do, and then we'll go to there in South Carolina.
Okay, I'm gonna make a bold prediction: Wilmington at home, South Carolina at home, and the last time we'll be done with Cincinnati at all. The conference schedule won't be quite as appealing. I'm gonna with what we did last year in South Carolina and Wilmington at home. I'm gonna say we sell the most season tickets we've sold since the year after we won the CIT.
Yeah, I'd like to see what do you think, Bubba? 3,000, like something like that. That's my what I'm thinking.
That would be great. I know last year we sold about half that. If we sell 3,000, that would be tremendous. But hey,
we have the Kyle Barber seats there, right behind the benches.
Go ahead, Bubba.
No, go ahead and finish your thought. I'll come back to it.
Okay. Well, I was going to say if you look at the, we know Wilmington, South Carolina at home. You know, you have Charlotte at home for one. You know, if you get UAB in there, if you get Florida Atlantic coming off the Final Four at home, if you get Memphis at home, I mean, that conference schedule really, I mean, the home schedule, it may not, you know, particularly with the non-conference games, it could be just as attractive as recent home schedules, even without Cincinnati and Houston, et cetera.
All I was going to chime in with is that as far as the schedule release, the 2022 schedule, it was exactly what I thought. The non-conference schedule was released in mid-August, and the full schedule was released on something like September 21st or 22nd.
So Dave was right about the full schedule being released in the fall. Wow.
It's literally what our first game. It's about 6 weeks before our first game.
That's ridiculous.
It's too long. I agree with that.
Well, I'm really not that I'm going to skip past the rest of baseball and, of course, football season, but I'm more excited for Pirate basketball going into this year than I think I ever have been.
Yeah. The recruiting has been great. Coach Schwartz is great. We got to push really hard with the, like you said, guys, the season tickets. By the way, speaking of tickets, I want to let our fans know that not only I got an email from Michigan guys. I don't know if you saw that. But July the 15th, if you're trying to get tickets for Michigan, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's going to be extremely difficult from our end. Hopefully we can, as far as the ECU ticket office, but that same day that we put the single game tickets on sale, that's July the 15th for Michigan tickets. It'll be the same day as Michigan. So you'll have, if you want to go to Michigan, you're probably going to have to get it like secondary market or Michigan itself. It's going to
be individual ticket sales for East Carolina go on sale July 15th.
That's my understanding. I'll look at the email I got from Coleman Spain again.
I'm interested in the App State games, not Michigan, but
yeah, July the 15th. Yep. So to let y'all know, I want to let everybody know. I know this is a baseball show, but that's one of the things I've gotten over the last couple of days. So I want to let everybody know here that we're towards the end of this show. I want to make sure everybody knew about that because Michigan, every time I'm having people on between social media people that I know. I know all of us, a lot of us are talking about going. Bubba, you're going, right, to Michigan? Matt's going.
Yeah, I certainly intend to, if at all possible. I was discussing that briefly with my dad on the return trip this evening, and we both certainly want to go, and we're going to start. I told him just as far as the 3,500 allotment and what a tight ticket. I think this will be due to the novelty of playing at Mission. And I mean, from the standpoint, it's something that's never happened, and who knows when it will happen again.
You'll be able to get them off StubHub if you want them bad enough.
But that's something to.
I use $65, by the way, guys. It's a
not bad. But I just mentioned the possibility of, do we want to try to road trip it? Do we want to fly? You know, all the logistical things that would go into making that trip and. Saying, hey, maybe it's a situation where, we leave after work, afternoon, mid afternoon on a Thursday. Absolutely. And I mentioned the possibility of watching the Fighting Chris Creightons from Eastern Michigan on Friday night before watching the Pirates and Wolverines on Saturday. Give me a moment. I'll look that up.
Yeah, Eastern Michigan, good football program.
Meanwhile, y'all carry on.
he's saying Eastern Michigan, good football program. Chris Creighton, head coach. And, of course, Scott Weatherby, athletic director.
Weatherby invited us. So there you go, Kyle. You could go with us.
I have no interest in going and watching us get our asses kicked by Michigan.
How do you know that?
Well, Dave, they're going to be a playoff contender. Could be, will be top five, could be number one. My guess will be around three or four. Vegas will probably have the line at about 28 points. So, we're going to be starting a brand new quarterback. Our starting running back's gone. I would imagine 90% of the points we scored last year on our offense are gone, at least. If we beat Michigan, I'll eat a chocolate hat. I'll eat my hat, and I do not own a chocolate hat.
Well, the whole experience is going to be great. And just in case they do pull up the upset, we'll be there. In fact, I'm going to take my kids there. And then my kid, what is the name of that song? Help me out, Kyle. I think it's from social media. But
I don't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan.
No.
Oh.
It's about Ohio. Maybe somebody can help me out.
You know, I don't know, but I know what you're talking about. My friend's little boy was singing something swag in Ohio.
Yeah.
Something, and I was like, why are you singing about Ohio?
Yeah, it's a song, right? And so the kids are talking about, they're begging me to go this summer to Ohio, and I had no clue what they were talking about. And then they played
the song. That'll be disappointing. Just don't take them to Cedar Point or anywhere. Just like take them to like Akron. And just like, here you go, kids. It's Ohio.
But I told him that on the way back, what my plan is on Sunday night is to stay in Ohio. Then they'll be able to see or somewhere like that on the way back so they can.
They're going to be so disappointed.
Have you ever been to Chillicothe, Ohio? I have twice.
Up in Chillicothe. You know what? I have not. Tyler Childers sings about that in one of his songs.
Yeah, Ohio, West Virginia line is close to West Virginia. So,
I have not. I'd be more interested in going there than I would like Columbus or somewhere though. I don't like Columbus. The mountain areas. But I've the only place I've been in Ohio is Cincinnati. I've never been anywhere else.
Cleveland, Columbus, and Chillicothe.
I got Cincinnati, and that's it.
There you go.
And whatever the hell towns you happen to go through, that's mostly Kentucky though. Before you get in Cincinnati,
that's right. That's right. Hey, Bubba, what's up? You back?
I am, and the Eastern Michigan Eagles, they play FCS foe Howard.
Oh man! So there you go. Can't miss that one.
Well, it's not a match. Yeah, obviously, we'd prefer to see them play someone else. But hey, the opportunity to see a college football game. And
I would look. Hey, if I was going to make the trip, I'd be totally down to go to that. I love Chris Creighton, and love.
That's what we thought you'd go on the trip. Is the Friday night you get to hang out with all the rest of the the crew with Bubba, myself, and Matt's going.
Yeah, I'm not. I'd love to see you guys the following week at the Marshall game. And
all right,
if I'm going to do a road trip this year, it'll be to App State. That is way more appealing to me than going to Michigan and to watch us lose.
We have FAU and Boca, and we also have the Navy game. Another two appealing games.
Be interesting to see how many Pirates make that trip to San Antonio. That's one I would like to. Well,
that's a long damn trip.
Yeah, it is. But I just think that's one that you may be surprised just because of that's somewhere that we haven't played, and just that destination of San Antonio, with the Riverwalk.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not saying
that we're gonna, take a ton of people. I just think compared to most trips that length, that could be something.
When is that? That's what I was thinking.
It's final weekend of October. It's like October 28th or something.
Okay, I was thinking it was in November. All right, so
Kind of shifting gears. One of our viewers was talking about HV3 having an excellent weekend. Obviously, had a pretty good showing. I don't recall exactly. Basically, top 25, top 30. I want to say at the Masters, a few weeks back. And so today, out in LIV Golf, Tulsa, I believe it's the Cedar Ridge Country Club, something of that nature. But HV3 finished fourth. Harold finished fourth, shot a 61 today. If you're still tuned in, let us know. Was that a par 70 course? But nonetheless, whether you're 9 under par or 10 or 11 under par, 61's a 61. And heck of a weekend for Harold. And he won $1 million.
Hey, that's good stuff there. Proud of him and HV3, and what a great Pirate. Maybe we can be interesting to see. He's one of those guys that is a huge Pirate. I'm just curious, and not to start a whole discussion on this, but it'd be interesting to see how much money he gives to the Pirate Club. I'm just saying.
He seems like he's very involved. So I would imagine it's a significant amount. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have Ryan on and ask him.
I'm not, let me be very clear on that. I'm not anti-HV3. I would just like to say.
I will ask Ryan, not exactly like that. I'll ask him without giving specific details and numbers, how involved is HV3 with the Pirate Club?
All right. That sounds good. All right, guys, do you have anything before we go? I know it's almost midnight here Eastern time.
Yeah, I'll just say, here – over the last several days, a lot of our content that we released, back 2018, 2019, 2020, and some historical interviews with the likes of David Garrard, also Blue Edwards. A lot of our viewers and listeners may have come on board in the last 2 or 3 years, so they may not have had the chance to search through some of our archives, but if you go to our YouTube channel, be sure to subscribe, and then you'll see the tab for shorts. We have an awful lot of recent YouTube shorts, and those are getting a lot of traffic, highlighting some of those interviews. And if you like what you hear, then go back and check out those interviews, be it on Spotify, and some are on YouTube. If you don't find them on YouTube, then also search, like I mentioned, pretty much any podcast platform, and you can find them.
Bubba, I need the C.W. Anderson interview. I was looking for that the other day and couldn't find
it. Yeah, I think I sent you the Audio Boom or a Spotify link, I'll send it again.
Okay, appreciate it.
By the way, John White says that Cedar Ridge is a par 71, Bubba.
Thank you, John, former Pirate pitcher. Former Pirate pitcher from the Coach O years, and I appreciate that. So Harold fired a 10 under par 61. Congrats to HV3 on his lucrative weekend.
Yeah, nothing like, how did you do this weekend? Oh, I made a mill. Only, Good stuff for him.
Good Saudi Arabian money.
Hey, you know what? If I know you very well, Kyle. If you had a chance to make that kind of money, you wouldn't take it?
Oh, sure. Sure. As long as I didn't have to go to Saudi Arabia. But yeah, I'll take it from the Saudis. Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him a bit, one bit. Take it. Take the money.
Yeah. No, I would. I would. I'm not. I mean, what, if I come into some, look, you know, if I'm suddenly in some situation where if anybody wants to give me $1 million, pretty much game. No, I don't blame him. I don't blame him for taking the money. I mean, I make those comments, but yeah, I don't really blame him. No, not at all. Particularly yeah. Giving some of it back to ECU.
Yeah, no doubt, John. We appreciate you and, you know, several others tuning in right now at such a late hour. Really appreciate that, and appreciate you chiming in as always.
No doubt. In fact, all of our great listeners and viewers appreciate them very much. And good luck to the Pirates guys on Tuesday night. That's going to be a hard ticket to get as the Pirates take on the Fighting Camels there from Campbell. That's going to be a great game. And then, of course, hopefully there's a lot of Pirate fans down in Tampa way that can. What about Owen, your good buddy Kyle in Tampa?
Get that game. Yeah, Owen can go take a long walk off a short pier. How about that?
Oh well, okay.
I'll be PC.
I couldn't resist, Kyle. You know,
Owen. Yeah, I don't know what you know that cocksucker. I don't know. Never had a problem with him. I thought he was a good caller for the most part, and
yeah,
all of a sudden he starts taking shots at me, and you know, it was a couple years ago now, but Owen. You know, if you want to make amends, you know, you can always apologize to me.
Give him $1 million. Give Kyle $1 million.
Oh, you give me $1 million and you can call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care. Flap shit out of me if you want to.
And then there's a show about that right now, right?
I think it's already done. I think that show's already the Dana White project there. We're slapping people. I think that's already finished, isn't it?
We were hanging out and you told me about that in January.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it didn't last long. I didn't like it as a TV show. I liked watching the clips on TikTok, but as a sit down to watch it for 30 minutes for an hour TV show, it was too much.
All right, before Bubba slaps me, let's go to the college baseball scoreboard.
Just a few series results of interest. The Clemson Tigers, obviously, with Eric Backich and Nick Schnabel, they've been as hot as anyone in college baseball. Clemson has won 8 straight, swept Virginia Tech this weekend. They have now won 13 of their last 14, and they will close their season beginning this week with a RPI of 8. That's right. Wow. Clemson's now 8th in the RPI. Hard to believe their unbelievable rise over the last.
I'm calling it now. Pirates at Clemson Super Regionals. Calling it now.
Yeah, I guarantee. Cliff won't argue with it too much as long as the Pirates are in a super regional. But I can assure you that neither of those head coaches want that to happen, at all possible. You know, USC Upstate and the North Carolina Tar Heels will travel to Doug Kingsmore Stadium there. In Clemson this week, and so we'll see how they close out the regular season, but they are red hot. You had Tennessee taking 2 out of 3 from Kentucky and Knoxville. Kentucky did prevent the sweep with a 10-0 win today over the Vols, and in doing so, you know, allowed the Pirates to move back ahead of Tennessee in the RPI. UConn, it's looking like they're going to provide a host for the Northeast. We know what Coach Penders has done there, and it's looking very good for the Huskies to host as they are 10th in the RPI, last I checked, and won a series against Butler this weekend, although it was very competitive. And then
what if UConn were to get up in the top 8 in the RPI and we would get paired with them for the Supers, and we had to go play the Supers at UConn.
That would be happy.
Yeah,
that would be quite. There we go.
Matt Semenza hosting a Pirate Club event.
Yeah, exactly.
Hosting, and I think he said I think I want to say he's 20 or 25 from Hartford and about 45 from Storrs, where the campus is. And I believe they built a new ballpark that's I believe been open. Yeah, we would be no more than 30 to 45 minutes away should we make that trip. But let's hope that doesn't happen. But last series I was going to bring up was West Virginia. Randy Mazey's Mountaineers, I believe they are winning the Big 12, and they took 2 out of 3 from Texas Tech in Morgantown this weekend. So West Virginia, they're having a heck of a year.
I will disagree with you, Bubba. I hope that does happen. I mean, I think the odds of us getting a national seed and hosting a super is very slim. So,
there certainly could be much worse matchups. I just meant from the standpoint that I would like to finally. I mean, obviously, the best case scenario is to do what we did last year, and where we control our own destiny. But then, we've always been paired up with someone where there's not been an upset. So maybe this would be the year where, if we're not in the top 8, which is likely going to be the case, of course. So maybe we have somebody get an upset on the other side of the bracket, and you have us.
Sure, that'd be great.
you have us hosting a 2 or 3 seed in Greenville.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Obviously, yes.
That's all I was saying. But yeah, if we're going to have to go play a super regional somewhere else, that would be great, because clearly we, not only for matchup purposes, but for the Matt Semenza factor.
And we're very familiar with them. They're familiar with us, but we're familiar with them. And we typically play pretty well against them. So.
Yes, we have, no doubt. That will be, hey, I'm looking forward. This is from where we were a couple weeks ago to now, as we always talk about, and Coach Godwin talked about with Igo on the Hoist the Colors show on 94.3 The Game that first week. He's talked about, hey, we played our best baseball in May and 7 in a row. I mean, you can't argue with the guy. And I think he knows baseball a little bit, right?
Yeah, seems like it. This whole season, I've gotten the feeling with this team at sometimes that we're just waiting for something. It's like we're just waiting for the postseason to get here.
And final question of the night, John White, again, former Pirate right-handed pitcher, saying the Campbell game. Is that for hosting anyway? A conversation for another day. You know, we'll address that very quickly. Did touch on it earlier. Just saying, I don't necessarily think it's, cut and dried, but obviously a win over them, especially since you have 2 one-run losses to the Campbells thus far, that would be a great addition to the resume. But I do think, if we were to lose that game, but win all 3 at South Florida and then take care of business in the tournament, I do think you could still host. But and then, who knows what Campbell does on the weekend and then in the Big South tournament. So, I mean, they could beat us and be 3-0 against the Pirates and then kind of stub their toe on the weekend or in the Big South tournament. And, I think it was last year they really had to battle their way out of the loser's bracket in the Big South tournament up in High Point. So, who knows? Not a lot of baseball to be played, but some very meaningful baseball is going to be played in the next week or two.
Quickly, guys, do you think, like me, I'm looking at right now a Citizen Group text earlier today that it looks like to me that we're going to have for North Carolina, and I don't know, I would ask Coach O, who would know a lot more, but what about the fact that we have, with all the teams in North Carolina, South Carolina, I think we're going to have 3 regional teams from sites, rather, in North Carolina. Wake is obviously number 1. Duke's been red hot. And then it's going to come down to Campbell or East Carolina. And that's why this Tuesday game is huge. I really believe.
Man, will they put 6 host sites in the Carolinas? Because there's a chance that Clemson, Coastal, and South Carolina could offer.
Yeah.
Good God.
I mean, all 3 of those are worthy. You know what I mean? Like in South Carolina.
Yeah, I agree, well, but good.
That's something Aaron Fitt of D1 Baseball released a short over the last several days talking about just that, how good baseball has been. I mean, he said it's good every year in this region, in the Carolinas and Virginia. He said, but it's even better this year. Just the depth and the possibility, as you just mentioned, of having 5-6 hosts. Obviously, Virginia is looking in great shape to host as well. So you could have at least 5, maybe 6 or 7 regionals right here in a 3-state area.
I'm going to say we better win the conference tournament and the conference regular season. I'm just going to say that.
Well, we're going to have to win the 3 and pray to God that, like you said, Cincy is going to be our best friend this weekend. They've got to at least win one game. If they can win the one game and we sweep, we win the regular season. Only a half game out. That's what's so sad. Half a game. Unbelievable. Johnny Robertson said, I'm planning on being at Clark LeClaire Stadium on June the 2nd. Amen, JR. We'll be there. We'll be there. I feel very confident about it. We'll see how it all plays out. Guys, do you have anything before we go?
Not a thing. Big week coming up for the Pirates in baseball. It's going to be big the rest of the way, every game.
No doubt. I'm going to enjoy every single pitch. In fact, yep. Bubba, I know we're big on YouTube right now, a lot of subscribers. So go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, right?
Yeah, last month has been some record-setting numbers on YouTube as far as subscribers and views. So appreciate everyone there. More and more folks liking and commenting, and we appreciate the interaction and appreciate you subscribing on YouTube. Also, be sure to like and follow on Facebook. Simply searching The Sports Objective. On Twitter, we can be found at The Sports OBJ, and on Instagram and TikTok, we can be found at The Sports Objective. On TikTok, that's a platform. In the past, we haven't been as active on, but that has changed. Short video clips, be it of our past interviews or jungle jumping, etc., have been posted there. And I know we had one short clip of Jeff Connor's interview with Chase Rice, where he was talking about his friendship with Morgan Wallen, who obviously is so popular. That received guys just shy of 18,000 views. So appreciate everyone there. And then there was another clip of that Chase Rice interview on Absolute Empowerment with Jeff Connors, which you can hear every Monday night at 7 p.m. Coach Connors is on a vacation playing some golf down in Florida, and then also, I believe, traveling out west. So there will be no episodes tomorrow night, and then potentially the next couple Monday nights. But in the majority of the year, you can hear Absolute Empowerment with Jeff Connors.
No doubt. There's a lot of great content that he does that he already has out, this archive. So you can check that out while he's gone and catch up. As they say, you can binge listen or binge watch for sure. And appreciate it. Go ahead, Bubba. Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't realize you lost my audio there for a moment. But if you have any suggestions, questions, comments, or topics, or potential guests, anything of that nature, you can always reach out to us at thesportsobj@gmail.com. Again, thesportsobj@gmail.com.
All right. Appreciate you guys very much. Thanks, Bubba, for producing behind the scenes as always. Kyle, thank you, man. And hopefully we have for the extra innings next week, we can talk about 4-0, but we'll see how it all plays out. And I appreciate everybody listening and watching. It's been a great show and great participation, especially considering when this is airing live. Appreciate it very much. We'll get out of here. Thank you so much. Thanks to PGX Gloves, too. PGXGloves.com. We appreciate them. We'll get out of here. I'm Dave Richmond. You've been watching and listening to Extra Innings right here on The Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and go Pirates.
Hey, Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClaire era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to The Sports Objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know we're going.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at TheSportsOBJ on Twitter, at TheSportsObjective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!